Cubs in New York City than in all of Europe and the Middle East combined. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about clean water and a pure mind. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, if bathtubs and water supply had anything to do with it, Americans should be the cleanest people in all the world. There are actually more bathtubs in New York City than all the European countries combined and the Middle East thrown in besides. So physically speaking, we may be a clean nation, but we've been studying about the spiritual cleansing afforded by baptism. And I fear that spiritual and moral purity is not one of the strong characteristics of American life. Now, in our last broadcast, we learned that baptism signifies a death and burial of the old life of sin. This is why the Bible pictures the entrance into the Christian faith as a burial under the water. Notice how the Bible describes the manner of Christ's baptism, which is the perfect pattern for all of us, of course. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Mark 1, verse 9. You remember Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John 3, 5. Now, friends, there's only one true baptism. It is both a baptism of water and of the Spirit. The water alone is not enough. There must also be a baptism of the Spirit. In other words, it isn't enough just to go through the outward action. But there must be an inner spiritual experience. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of water symbolizes cleansing from the guilt of sin. The baptism of the Spirit symbolizes cleansing from the very power of sin. Now, after he was baptized, notice what the Bible says in Mark 1:10. And straightway coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So you see, friends, Jesus was baptized by water and by the Spirit. As in obedience to the command of the Father, he went down into the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for every one of us as we open our hearts wide at the time of our baptism. So we see that water baptism is God's New Testament plan. Another reason for a second baptism is if we've been baptized in some other way than the way that Jesus was baptized. I mean, after all, he's our example. The Bible says he is our example in all things. Now, John baptized in a certain area, quote, because there was much water there, John 3:23. So evidently, the baptism of Bible days required much water. One time a little boy was attending some meetings all by himself, which a fellow minister was conducting. He went to a parochial school, and after the sermon on baptism, he ran up to the minister, and he was all excited. He says, "I know of another kind of baptism that you didn't mention." And the evangelist says, "Oh, what kind is that?" He said, "A watermelon baptism." Well, he had to give him credit for it. He had never heard of that kind before, so the preacher asked him where he heard about it. "Oh," he said, "in our school. They were telling us the other day of how a group was going across the desert, and one of them decided he wanted to be baptized, and there wasn't any water, but they had a watermelon. So they opened the watermelon, and with the juice out of the watermelon, he was baptized," or sprinkled, of course, the little boy meant. Well, now, my friend said he would never forget that boy, maybe 10 years old, how his eyes sparkled as he told him about that watermelon baptism. But it gives us a little hint, doesn't it, as to where we got our baptism by sprinkling. Even the Church of Rome, until about the 12th century, baptized by immersion. When I was over there in Europe, I saw the old churches that date back to those early centuries. And they have baptistries, not just pedestal fonts, but baptistries for immersion to take place in. During the Middle Ages, there were folks who waited until they were on their deathbed to be baptized. The priest would come, and he would wrap them in a wet blanket and pour water on them. Of course, that was messy and inconvenient, but they felt at least they got him wet all over. But gradually, they got further and further away from the Bible, and then they decided to just pour a little water on the head. That was still a little messy and inconvenient, so they tapered it down a little bit more and started just sprinkling a little water or dipping the finger in the water and making the sign of the cross on the person. Briefly told, that's about the way it's come about, friends. That's how we got from the way they did it in the Bible times to the way many folks do it today. Actually, the very word baptizo in the Greek language means to immerse. Sometimes we need a little encouragement to take that final step of baptism. It's always encouraging to me to remember that Paul needed just a little encouragement. Ananias said to Paul after his conversion, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:15-16. "Why tarriest thou?" In other words, what are you waiting for? What stands in your way? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Now, actually, it isn't the water that washes away our sins. Of course, it's the blood of Jesus. But it makes it more real as we go through that sermon that Jesus has given us. Jesus himself set that example, and Jesus commanded baptism, as we'll see now in just a moment. We cannot separate this matter of baptism from the sin problem. Ananias said to Paul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Now let me ask you something, friends. What is sin? Let's remind ourselves again, sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. In other words, when we're baptized, we are to wash away our sinning or our breaking of God's law and make an end of it. That's what baptism symbolizes. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Romans 6:3. You see, friends, he died for our sins. That's what made Christ's death necessary. That's why we need to be baptized. As we're baptized, his death covers our particular sins. We're baptized into his death that we may have covering for our sins of the past. Now, it's good for us to just stop a quiet moment and seriously think, why do we need to be baptized? The answer is because all of us have sinned. Now, if there were a person listening today, there isn't, of course, but if there was a person who had broken only one of God's commandments, would it still be necessary for him to be baptized? Yes, it would. Even though he had broken only one of God's commandments, it would still be necessary for him to be baptized. The good book tells us that if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all, James 2:10. It is sin whether you break one commandment or 10. Now, there are degrees of sinning, but it's sin nevertheless. In other words, if a man has committed just one sin, it would have been necessary for Jesus to die to provide pardon for that one sin. That was the case with Adam and Eve. If there had been only one sinner and only one sin, the death of Jesus still would have been necessary in order to make forgiveness possible. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, whether it's one sin or 10. One sin is enough to keep a man out of heaven if he refuses to give it up. One of the reasons that some people don't understand the need of baptism is that they don't understand the sinfulness of sin. You know, we have a tendency to categorize sins according to our own standards. We feel that murder and adultery, for example, are big sins, and swearing and coveting are little sins. Now, God does not make this distinction, friends. The sins of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden would be small by human standards, but it was enough to cost them eternal life. Is a thing sin to you because you think it's wrong or because God says it's wrong? If your standard is different from God's standard, friends, you had better change. Now, take time to look into your life for a moment today. Is there any one of God's Ten Commandments that you've been breaking over and over again? Do you have an idol in your life? Is there anything or anybody more important than God in your life? If there is, then you have an idol. Are you guilty of coveting? Are you guilty of breaking the Sabbath? If, in analyzing your life, you find that you have just one of these sins as a willful sin in your life, where you have deliberately gone out and done it over and over again, you still need baptism, friends. You need baptism just the same as a man or woman who's gone out and committed murder or adultery. Do you see that point? If we don't see this, surely we can't understand why anyone should be baptized a second time. Now, it was Jesus' plan that baptism would never be a haphazard matter. A man told a friend of mine that some years ago he and his wife decided they'd like to join a certain church. They went and told the minister after the service one Sunday, and he said, "Fine, next Sunday we'll take you into the church." But he did not visit them one time. He did not ask them one question. Never did he give them one word of instruction. The next Sunday he read their names. He called them forward. They had a little ceremony. No water. He just shook their hands, and they were now members of the church. Friends, Jesus never intended that. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:19-20. Now that's why in these broadcasts we're trying to teach the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you." This instruction was not just for those people who were living when Jesus was here. It applies even unto the end of the world. So he said, "Teach them to observe everything that I have commanded." The reason why some people need to be baptized a second time is that they've gone on breaking the Sabbath or breaking one of the other commandments. They've gone on sinning against one of God's laws even after they were baptized. Do you begin to understand, friends, why it is so important to understand the difference between willful, deliberate sin and sins of ignorance? I don't think there's a person listening who would for a moment say that he's never sinned since he was baptized. But, my friends, we should not be deliberately sinning against God. There is a difference. Because we've all sinned, some people say. What's the use of trying to keep the commandments of God? Oh, listen. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Romans 6:6. Now that's what it means when we're baptized. When we've made up our minds, we are no longer living to serve sin. From now on, we're going to serve Jesus. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body." Romans 6:11 and 12. So there it is, friends. I like that so much. You decide. It's up to you. We individually decide whether we're going to let Christ or sin reign in our lives. We're never truly happy when our allegiance is divided. We're never truly happy until we decide once and for all to live for Christ. One of the virtues of baptism is that it seals that decision. Many a man has good intentions but gets diverted before carrying them out. There are many who are almost persuaded. When we make a decision, it's so easy to slip back into indecision. But baptism is a thing that God has given to us for the purpose of sealing our decision. It's like signing our name on the dotted line. Once you've done it, friends, you're not so likely to back out. Baptism settles the issue in your life of following Jesus and who's going to be the master of your life for eternity. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.